what they order, the Rambam. And it's a very topical topic. Why? Because we're in the period of the 9 days and in the week of Tisha B'Av. And in the week of Tisha B'Av especially, we know the Second Temple was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. And we were discussing it last night, and someone told me they had nightmares last night because of what happened in the Second Temple. I was talking about it yesterday. Basically, what happened was the Jews were split into 24 different groups, at least. At least 24 different groups. The main groups were the Sadducees, the Sadducees who were Kohanim, the descendants of Sadok, that's why they called Sadducees. And they basically were the priests in the temple, but they were Hellenized priests, because they became more Greek than Jews. And they didn't care who was the boss. The Romans, they loved the Romans. They didn't mind the Romans. The second group was the Pharisees, the Perushim, which today the rabbis are descendants of the Perushim. We are descendants of the Perushim. And they're very pragmatic. They didn't want to fight. They knew, listen, we're not going to win Rome. Rome is the superpower of the day. They didn't want to fight. And then you had all the other sects, which some of them were very dangerous. The Sicarii, we know the Sicarii because they had knives and they're hidden. They would kill people. They would just stab people. And you had the Zealots. The Zealots were fiercely anti-Roman, and they looked upon all the other Jews who were pragmatic as traitors. They also wanting to fight. And then you had all the Meshugaim around them, the Essenes and the Dead Sea sects, which we have the Dead Sea Scrolls, who were looking at and saying, you know, there's going to be the end of the day of destruction is coming. Let's hide out. All the big cities are corrupt. Let's move away from them and do our own thing. And obviously you had the New Christians as well, which were around the time at the same time. You had the brother of JC who had a church in Yerushalayim, not a church, but called a synagogue. James, he had his church in Yerushalayim that time, around the same time. So he had all the whole sects, 24 different, at least 24 different groups. And the Jewish revolt against the Romans, I'm not going to go into details, but basically what happened was the Romans invaded, and they sent 6,000 troops, and the Zealots fought them and smashed them. And the Romans were very terrified that this is the biggest revolution they have in their hands. So they sent the best general, Vespasian, with four different groups of 50,000 soldiers. 50,000 soldiers go and fight the Jews. And he starts in the north. We talked about yesterday in Yad Vata, in the Galil, and the Golan, and the Gamla in Golan. And he smashes the resistance, and he gets to Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim is big. It's 450,000 people. It's nearly half of Yerushalayim today with the new city. So it's a big city. Has tremendous fortifications. And the Jews had enough food to survive for many years. Food, firewood, water. They had everything. Could have survived. They could have outlasted the Romans. They could have been the first group to outlast the Romans. And instead of which, they started fighting amongst themselves inside Yerushalayim, and the Zealots destroyed all the food supplies. So now there's a famine in Yerushalayim, there's infighting in Yerushalayim, there's famine in Yerushalayim. And the Jews who tried to escape were crucified by the Romans. So we had 100,000 Jews at that time were crucified. People don't realize 100,000 Jews were crucified. It's the most excruciating death to die like that. But the whole cause, the rabbis tell us, is Sinat Chinam. They're fighting amongst themselves. Imagine you're being surrounded by enemies and you're still fighting amongst yourselves. It's hard to imagine. Unfortunately, we see this today on a small scale. We don't see it on a large scale. Thank God, in Israel, thank God, there's only one army. There's one government, even though they fight in the Knesset. It's like a madhouse sometimes. But at least they recognize, you know, we learn from history a little bit. We learn history. History is, if we're disunited, we fall. And it's very important to be united. One army, one government. It's very, very critical. In those days, it wasn't like that. And that's what the rabbi said, at Sinat Chinam. Now, that's the big picture of Sinat Chinam. There's a small picture of Sinat Chinam, which is in the families, amongst couples, amongst spouses. Sinat Chinam. People are fighting. But we're in our houses. We're with our beloved. We chose our mates, and we're fighting with them. And brothers and sisters fighting together, and then relatives don't get along. It's a terrible thing. So this is Sinat Chinam on our scale. So I had a guy in my shul. He said, you know, Rabbi says, I hate this guy, but it's not Sinat Chinam. It's Sinat Besiba. I have a reason to hate him. We can all find reasons. Everyone can find a reason to hate someone. So we're going to try and erase the reasons for hatred. That's the thing. How do we arrange these things? It's the hardest thing to do, and that's why we're learning Hilchot Deot. So it's very topical that we're learning Hilchot Deot. One of the things the Rambam says, he listed 11 mitzvot. Right at the beginning, and that's the Rambam always does this. He always lists the mitzvot before he talks about the halachot. And I don't think you have that in the English translation, but in the original Hebrew text, you have the list of mitzvot. And one of these mitzvot is Ve'avta L'Recha Kamocha. Part of Hilchot Deot, part of character traits, it's going to be a fundamental part of our character traits, is to love one's friend. Love one's friend. Love your fellow Jew. Love a stranger, as converts. Not to hate your brother in your heart, which is so easy to do. A person can hate someone with their heart. One of the things that the Torah praises the brothers of Yosef, it says they couldn't speak to him. They didn't speak to him either good or bad. The fact that they didn't speak to him good things, Rashi says, was good. Why? Because then he should have realized that they didn't like him. They didn't hide their hatred. They showed their hatred. They didn't hate their brother in their heart. They showed the hatred, which is good in a way. Why? Because then the other person can make amends. If I don't know you hate me, I can't make amends. If I know you show your hatred, then obviously I did something to you. I could ask you, what did I do to you? What happened? Why do you hate me so much? So that's something good that the brothers did. So we have this mitzvah to l'damod b'drachav, to compare ourselves, to try and be like Hashem. V'alachta b'drachav. Torah says v'alachta b'drachav, to walk after Him. How do you do that? So the Gemara says in Sota. Says just like God gave clothing to Adam and Chava, when they realize they're naked, who clothes them? Hashem. And how does the Torah end? It ends off with burial of Moshe. Who buried Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem. So just like Hashem is kind, who went to visit Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu had a brit milah, Hashem. So these are things. It says, halachta b'drachav, walk in the ways of God. Just like He is kind, you know, 13 attributes. Just like He is rachum, He's merciful, you should be rachum. Just like He is chanun, you should be chanun. Just like He gives gratuitously, we should give gratuitously. That's raising children. When you raise children, you're just giving gratuitously. If you think you're going to get something back, you'd be lucky. Don't even think about it. So what can you get back? You get a little bit of nachat ruach. The child is doing the right thing, a little bit of nachat ruach. That's what we wanted. We want Hashem wants from us as well, nachat ruach. So these are things that we have, the Hilchot Deot, which is so critical, which unfortunately, the Jews in the time of the second destruction did not learn. They may have been very religious and very into the rituals. They bring the korbanot every day, but they didn't have derech eretz with each other. They didn't get along with each other. This is something which is so hard to do, get along with people. I find this the hardest thing to do. You know, the rituals, Hashem does not talk back to you. Hashem does not argue with you. Hashem does not fight with you. You don't hear from Hashem. It's one-way street. You talk to Hashem, and sometimes He answers in an indirect way. Sometimes He answers in a direct way, but nothing directly, verbally. You don't hear it. Whereas people, straight away, they let you know what they think. So it's harder to get along with people than Hashem. Laws between man and God, laws between man and man. Which ones are harder? Laws between man and man are much harder. In fact, Yom Kippur it says, a person can do teshuva between man and God just by saying, overnight. You could just say teshuva straight away. It's within minutes, you're doing teshuva between Hashem. But with a person, you got to go, and if he's got to forgive you, and you got to... It's a horrible process. It's a very painful process. So laws between man and man, that's really what Hilchot Deot encompasses. And it's very topical to talk about it this week. So Rabban starts talking about it in Halakha number 1. He says, and we talked about this last week, so I'm just briefly going to go over it. Deot harbe, yesh lekol echad ve'echad. Every single person is different. And that's a very important idea to realize that, you know, I look at you and I think you think like me. You don't think like me. You're totally different. And the Gemara has an interesting, very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, why does Hashem make everyone different? Why does Hashem make everyone think different? Because if we thought the same, then I would know where you hid your money, and you know where I hid my money, and there's no privacy. We think the same way. If we look the same, then my wife would get confused with this. So it's a terrible way. So Hashem says, you know what, I'm going to make everyone different. Now what's interesting is, even if you clone people, you cannot clone them to the point where they think the same way. They'll think differently. So it's interesting that you can clone people, make them look the same. The fingerprints will still be different. Identical twins. The fingerprints still are different, and they think differently. So interesting. You cannot make two people think the same way. It's impossible. They tried in communist countries. They tried to brainwash people to try and fit them. But it's very hard to do that. It takes conditioning. It's all about conditioning. But people are not born the same. So that's the Rambam's first thing, is everyone is different. So how do we get along? Why did Hashem create us so differently? Because He wants us to learn to get along. Why does Hashem want the institution of marriage? Because He wants people to learn to get along. He wants people to learn how to control their egos. That's exactly what Hashem did. We talked about on Thursday night, the Arizal. One of the ideas of Tzimtzum, which is constricting oneself, which is controlling one's ego. Hashem is a master. He controlled Himself to create a vacuum, in a sense, to create man, to give us free choice, that we can deny His presence. So it's very important to have this concept that we have to realize one of the reasons we're created was to perfect our egos, was to control our egos, was to perfect our midot, which is what the Vilna Gaon says. The Vilna Gaon says that's the main purpose of man, is to perfect our midot. How do we perfect our midot? If you're not dealing with people, you don't have to perfect your midot. You can live in your monastery, and as a monk in a monastery by yourself, no one to bother you. It's fantastic. It's a great, isn't it great? No one to bother you. So this way, you don't have to perfect anything. And you're perfect. You don't have to fight with anyone. Why there's no one around to fight with? But that's not the way Judaism wants us to be. He says, you know, you got to pray with the minyan. You know what it's like to pray with the minyan? This guy goes 20 miles an hour, this guy goes 30 miles an hour, this guy goes 50 miles an hour. And now you got to sort of balance everything. That's controlling one's ego. It's hard to pray with the minyan. You got to be part of a community. Why? I don't get along with this one. I don't get along. No, you're going to control your ego. I got to get married. Now I got to find a spouse. No, you got to fight. Balance everything in the house. She likes it like this. I like it this. You got to balance yourself. It's all about controlling ego. What about controlling ego? Because it's all about midot. That's the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to control, is to perfect ourselves so we can get along with other people, which is the hardest thing to do, is get along with other people. Yes, Shoshana.
But like on a more positive slant, it would optimize the universe, right? If everybody appreciated everybody else's differences and everything they could contribute to the world, then it would be the optimal.
Right, Tikkun Olam. That's all about Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam is, it says, when the wolf and the sheep will live together. So you can't get more differences than a wolf and a sheep. It's the Rambam we're going to see. The Rambam, if we ever get there, the end of the Rambam, it's right at the end of Hilchot Melachim, which is the last Rambam, and he says that's the prediction of the Mashiach. The wolf and the sheep will live together, which means the Jews will live with the nations of the world. I mean, we're seeing this today. The fact that I can live in Highland Park, surrounded by non-Jews, and they don't kill me. We take it for granted. But in Jewish history, it hasn't been like this for thousands of years. It's never been. If you look at the pogroms and the persecutions, I was just looking up yesterday, auto da fe. When was the last auto da fe, where the Christians burnt a Jew alive? 1850-something in Mexico, all places.
But it was in Germany, and then there was the Holocaust.
So yes.
I think we have to be careful when we say we live here and it's safe.
Is it safe? Temporarily, it's safe. But that's also a miracle. The fact that it's temporarily safe is a miracle. Okay. It's not normal. That's what the Gemara, that's the prediction of Yeshayahu, the lion, not the lion, it's a wolf. The wolf will live with the lamb. So you know there's a famous story, it says in the Tel Aviv Zoo, the big sign, has the whole pasuk from Yeshayahu, the wolf will live with the lamb, and there's a wolf and the lamb in the cage. You say, wow, this is really messianic times. How do you get the wolf to lamb, and lamb live in the same cage? So well, we change the lamb every day. Put a new lamb. So that's the problem. The wolf, the lamb, yeah. So what it means is human nature is going to change, that we'll be able to get along. That's really what it means. The wolf and lamb will get along. It's not talking about the real wolf and lamb, even though the Ramban takes it literally. Ramban says even the animals will change their behavior. Ramban says no, it's a parable of human beings. Human beings will change. So the wolf-like human beings who are predators will not be predators anymore, which is amazing. The Ramban takes it one step further. He says, no, the nature of animals themselves will change. Wow, that's awesome. That's even more amazing. Can you imagine lions walking down the street with a lamb? That's hard to imagine, huh? Okay. So there's different kinds of people, and he goes to the list. And basically, this list is based on Pirkei Avot. There's a famous line in Pirkei Avot, famous Mishnayot in Pirkei Avot, about different kinds of temper, a person who's different levels of temper, right? A person easy loses temper, hard to lose his temper. And here we have, he just quotes parts of it. Yesh adam shu bal chema koes tamid. There are people who are angry all the time. Maybe you know one of them. People are always angry. Yesh adam shadatom yoshevet alav. There's people always placid. And they never get angry. If they get angry, they get angry once in many years. And there are some people very proud, very always boasting about their accomplishments. And there are some people very humble. So he's going through the list of different kinds of people. Some people are very, very avaricious, very desirous of things, and never happy. They're never happy what they have. They're always looking for more and more and more. And some people have a pure heart. This is very interesting, the terminology he uses, a pure heart. What is a pure heart? You know, David HaMelech says in Psalm 24. Everyone knows 23, right? But 24 is the Psalm for Sundays. Right? What does it say? Bar Levav, the person with a pure heart. Mi Aleh Behar Hashem, who will climb the mountain of God? Bar Levav, a person with a pure heart. What is a pure heart? So that's exactly what pure heart. What is a pure heart? A person not desirous. A person not always running after things. Lo Yitaveh Afilu Dvarim Me'atim. He's not even worried about things which are small, which the body really needs. V'yesh Bal Nefesh Rechava. And there's a person who has a very big soul. What does that mean? Who is this classic? And it's also Pirkei Avot. Bilam. He said, Bilam was never satisfied. He says, how do we know? He tells Balak, he says, if the king will give me his whole house full of gold and silver, it won't be enough. So he says, you see how much he wanted. He was desirous. It was never enough for Bilam. Even if he has all the money in the world, he'll never be satisfied. We see this today. We have people today with billions. We can't imagine. They have more money than a lot of countries in the world. And they're still, you know, who's the richest guy in the world? Is it Jeff Bezos? Or who's the other guy? Bill Gates? Or is it Warren Buffett? Billions and billions. It's hard to imagine. What can you do with billions? How many cars can you drive? How many houses can you live in?
Halavai.
It's good. I'm just saying, halavai. But there are people who just count their money, just never enough. I want to make more. Kinyan Shirimah, as Shlomo Melech says in Mishle, Ohev Kesef Lo Yisba Kesef. A person who loves money will never have enough money. That's a very powerful statement. Ohev Kesef Lo Yisba Kesef. A person who loves money will never have enough money. So why do we want money? The answer is not because I want the money. It's because I want to do things with the money. It's the purpose of the money. That's the key. What do you do with the money? V'yesh mikatsir nafsho. This person, he's mikatsir nafsho. Shidayo filu devar muat. Miser. Lives on very little. Shlo yaspik lo velo yedof lasik otzako. V'yeshu misagef asmo. So there's different levels of people. Some people, they just want to live within their means and they cut down on what their necessities are so that they don't... Living simply, it's called today. A person lives simply so he doesn't need to run and get more and get more and get more. And there's others who torture themselves with famine in order that they should gather more money. And then there are people who are just spendthrifts. They spend whatever they have. They're losing all their money with their mind as well. So they're throwing everything away. All these things are different ways proving is different kinds of people. And there are people who are very happy, people are very sad, people who are very kind, and people who are very cruel. There are people who are very brave, and people who are very cowards. So we have all kinds of people in the world. We have to realize this. And people, sometimes we just walk down the street, we just don't realize there are so many different kinds of people. Everyone thinks, you know, they must be all like me. I think in a certain way, and therefore everyone must think the same way. No, it's not true. So it's very hard to look beyond oneself. This is what the Rambam is telling us. Look beyond yourself. Don't just think that everyone is like you. They're not. There's different kinds of people in the world. Hashem created a wide variety of people, a broad spectrum of people. Why did Hashem create such a broad variety of people? Why did Hashem, one of the biggest questions I have on the Torah is, why did Hashem keep the 12 tribes alive? Make them all one tribe. Why give them each one separate flags and they have to go in different place and different... He wanted an orchestra. Hashem wanted an orchestra. Hashem does not want a monolith. Can you imagine an orchestra of old violins? There's an orchestra of violins. The orchestra has to have a variety of instruments, and Hashem wants that variety, but He wants the variety which is united in a certain way. And the first United States was the State of Israel. Israel was the first United States. You have to remember that. We don't remember that. The Constitution of Israel was one Sanhedrin, but each tribe had their own Sanhedrin. They had a big Sanhedrin and then the small Sanhedrins. Each state had their own Sanhedrin. And you find sometimes it fell apart. But the period of the judges, it fell apart. They didn't help each other. The tribes didn't help each other. So one tribe's fighting a war, the other tribe is quiet. So that's why they wanted a king, to unite them completely. And we had more troubles, the kings. So that's the famous question. What is the best form of government? So the best form of government, the Torah says, is different states under one God. And God is the unifying factor. But that wasn't enough for you. You know, God doesn't talk to everyone. You need a king to represent God, and that's when everything fell apart. If it's a good king, fine. If it's a bad king, trouble. And most of the kings were not that greatest. So that's the trouble. Some of the kings were great. Especially in the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom, there were terrible disasters. Okay, so Hashem wants this spectrum. That's why Hashem created us all differently. Everyone has their own test. We all have our own test. The Arizal says everyone has their own tikkun. So how do you know what your tikkun is? So Arizal says an amazing thing. He says, whatever you feel from birth was your hardest test. What is your test in life? That is your tikkun in life. I know what my tikkun is. It's very hard. I can't. It's very hard to do it. I mean, in my 50s, it's very hard to change this thing. It's a trait which is so ingrained in a person that that's the tikkun. The tikkun is to fix that trait. So we have to know what our tikkun is. What is our tikkun? What do you find the hardest thing to do? What's the hardest thing for you to do? That's your tikkun. You try and focus on that. It's so hard to do it. It's so hard to break that thing. And it could be the oldest person. It's a lifetime of effort.
How do you know what you are if you said you're born
neutral? You're born neutral, right. But you have traits. You didn't do anything yet. You're born neutral because you didn't do anything yet.
So when do you find out?
So when you think back at the earliest history, think, what was I like as a kid? What was I up to when I was a kid? And you find some of those traits stay with you the rest of your life. It's very hard to get rid of. Change the traits you had when you were a kid, because those are your inborn traits. That's in your DNA. Those traits are in you.
Yeah, but if you had different parents, I think it would be different.
Of course you would. No question about that. I'm saying that's your DNA traits. Your DNA traits are there. That's it. And your job is to fix them. So the guy says, you know, I was born cruel. Well, that's your job. That's your tikkun. Your tikkun is to fix your cruelty. The other guy says, I was born dishonest. Well, that's your job. Your job is trying to fix your honesty. You're born with a trait. You're born with a trait, certain traits. Some people are born generous, right? You can... Right, some people are born very generous, some people are born very kind, some people are born very tricky. Okay, Esau, he was born tricky. It's interesting. He had the DNA, and his test was to change. He found it very hard to change. It's very hard to change one's inborn traits. So you're not born bad, you're born with different traits. Some traits are very good, some traits are very bad. Yes.
Everyone's a variety.
That's right, exactly. But the mission is to fix it. The mission is to try and fix it.
To make you perfect.
As perfect as possible. As possible. But that's a lifetime mission. That's why Hashem created us. Hashem created us for that mission. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. That's our mission in life. Okay, now he comes. This is the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do is to measure oneself in terms of their traits. What kind of trait do I have? What are my traits? Are my traits good? Are my traits bad? Imagine, there's a list of traits. I think we had a class many years ago. There's a book called Gateway to Self-Knowledge by Zelig Pliskin. You ever heard that book? It's a very good book to get hold of. It will complement our class over here. If you can have a look at it if you're interested. Gateway to Self-Knowledge by Zelig Pliskin. All his books are fantastic. Zelig Pliskin, excellent. But this is a fantastic book. It's Gateway to Self-Knowledge, where he goes through, he has a whole list of traits. Maybe I should bring you a copy of list of traits. I also made a list of traits. A list of traits. And now the Rambam is telling us, think about all the traits you have. And now mark them off. Where are you in the percentile? Are you the average or you're an extreme in that trait? Are you extremely generous or are you mediocre generous or are you not generous at all? So make a grade of yourself. Grade yourself on your own traits. Wow. Try to sit down at night grading yourself on your traits. You go crazy. How many people go crazy? You know, we're paranoid enough. We're enough neurotic enough. But can you imagine that this is expected? This is what the Rambam is talking about. This Rambam expects every Jew to figure out their traits. What's it called? Analyzing oneself. A person's got to sit down and analyze themselves. I have this trait and this trait. We all have these traits. Now, how do I mark myself on this trait? Am I in the medium or am I an extremist on this trait? So this is famous Rambam. So he tells us in each trait there are extremes. Okay, they're each trait, they're extremes. One extreme, the other extreme, and there's an average, there's a mediocre. And now he comes to tell us where these traits come from. This is very advanced, because there's a society just figured this out recently. The big psychologists, the so-called big psychologists, in the Rambam 800, 900 years ago. So where these traits come? Number one, mitchilat briyato. The traits come from the creation of a person, in their DNA. He doesn't say DNA. Lefiteva gufo, according to the nature of his body. That's DNA today. So it's amazing. The Rambam tells us, where do your traits come from? Number one source of traits is your birth. It's inside you. It's part of your body. It's DNA. Number two. And there are predispositions to certain traits. It's fantastic, amazing. A person is predisposed to gain certain traits. This is wild, Rambam. Because even though I don't have it when I'm born, I'm predisposed to get it. So it's interesting. Why? Because a person, when they're young, they don't have anything. So now later on, when they get things, they're predisposed to certain traits. Number three. Number 3 is peer pressure. We don't have these traits when we're growing up. We have them from other people. We learn them from other people. Peer pressure. Number 4. These are traits the person acquires by themselves according to their thoughts. The person says, you know what, I want to be kinder. I want to be gentler. I want to be more cruel. These comes to a person. These traits are self-caused by a person later on when they grow up. Number 5, or they learn these traits by reading and by hearing about them. Or shamash zu adia tova lo, he hears this trait is good for him, and this is the way to go, and he habituated himself until it was fixed in his. And this is what we're trying to do. It's interesting that the power of habit, we don't really realize the biggest power we have to change ourselves is habit. The Rambam is going to talk about this, especially in the laws of teshuvah. How does a person change? He says, change the way you act 3 times in a row and you'll find you're acting a different way. Get into a habit. A person gets into a habit to get up at a certain time. It's hard to break that habit. You're habituated. You start sleeping at a certain time. It's hard to break the habit. It's very hard to break. It's a habit. But what do you have for lunch? What do you have for breakfast? You think there's a variety menu, but the truth is it's a habit. What you like is what your habit. You're habituated to it.
Rabbi,
yes?
My mother, may she rest in peace, she used to say, it's taken from someplace, I don't know where, that what you dislike in someone is like the mirror that is put
Yes, that's Arizal. Arizal says that. He says, when you judge someone else, you're really judging yourself. Because you're seeing the same thing that you do in someone else. So he said, that's why it's good to be, as we talked about yesterday, the idea of Betzedek Tishpot Amitecha, judge other people favorably. When you judge other people favorably, you're actually judging yourself favorably. It's very hard. Because you've got to measure yourself according to how you measure other people. So you measure other people in a certain way. Hashem says, oh, you measure them so-and-so. That's how you're going to be measured. Midah Keneged Midah, it's called. Midah Keneged Midah. So it's a very important idea. Before you judge someone else, think about how you would want to be judged in that situation. It's so hard. But it's a very high level of living.
So if it's from the DNA, that means it's from the grandparents? Like,
probably.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you see that people yes. that you're related to, you're similar.
But
to
sometimes you don't see it. You see Esav, where did Esav come from? I'm trying to figure out where did Esav come from. He didn't come from Yitzhak, he didn't come from Rivka. He may have come from Lavan, which makes sense. Because it says that a person's child is similar to the uncle.
Right.
If you want to see, it tells a man, the Gemara says, if you want to see what your son's going to be like, look at your wife's brother. That's what your son's going to be like. I know, my oldest son is like, just like my brother-in-law. He's not. I wish he was. But it's similar. Yes, go ahead.
The only thing I want to say is it's part of our DNA, but what you said, which is
there are 5 things.
The thoughts the person acquires by themselves mean we are responsible for changing our DNA. We have the elasticity.
That's what we're doing here. That's the whole idea of Hilchot Deot is
so
to change.
Something's inside us, but we have the flexibility to change.
We must change. Exactly. We must change. We have to change. That's our mission in life. Our mission in life is to change, especially those things which are part of our DNA and things which go into bad habits. Where does a person pick up bad words? You know, kids go to school, they pick it up from their friends. So now you got to come home and the parents try and educate them. I was very lucky. I had an older cousin who gave me a lecture when I was a kid about using bad words. Because you come home from school, you learn these words, you don't know what they are, and you use them. And luckily my cousin caught me and said, listen, it's not the way, you know. But it's very important. So we have to teach ourselves these are not good things.
Rabbi,
yes?
What you're talking about, a DNA, but what's the distinction between that and acting like what you saw at home?
That's peer pressure. That's learning. There's two different levels. One is something which is built into you and something which you learn. So sometimes, that's why peer pressure, that's why it's so important. That's why role modeling of parents, what they do at home is very, very important. We don't realize how important it is as parents. the way we talk at home, that's the way the parents, the children will react. And that's how, when they grow up, they'll think back, how did my parents react in this situation? We don't really realize that in front of small children, we are like giants. And we're all sitting around the same table, but when we raise our voices a little bit for them, we're shouting. And we act like giants. It's a very important idea. The idea of parenting is role modeling. And teaching and educating is also role modeling. So we learn through role models as well. So different levels. There's five. Let's recap these five things. It's very, very important. And it's very advanced. This is amazing. This is the Rambam is could be written today in the latest psychology books. Number one. So there's different ways of getting traits. Number one is DNA. Mitchilat briyato. It's already built in from when a person is born. So some people are born fantastic. The traits are fantastic. And some people are born with traits which are bad. So a person who's born with a good traits, it's not their job to fix it. It's already fixed. They don't get reward for fixing it. A person born with bad traits, they get tremendous reward for fixing it. Even if they're fighting against it, even if they can't resist it, but they're fighting, they're battling against it, it's terrific. They get reward for that. So I compare it to people born on different levels of the mountain. Imagine, yeah, the guy's Himalayas. He's climbing the Himalayas. He gets to the top and he sees one of these Nepalese Sherpas living over there. So all he says is, all my life I've been practicing and climbing and working hard to get to this level. And this guy's here already. He was born there. So he doesn't get reward for it. He doesn't get the reward because he didn't climb the mountain. But we are climbing the mountain. We're getting reward for it. So a person says, you know, I have this bad trait. I just can't break this trait. I'm trying so hard. Good. Why? You're going to get much more reward. The reward is very, very great. As long as the person does not give up. What does Shlomo Melech say? Mishlei says seven times he said that the tzaddik will fall and will get up again. The difference between a rasha and a tzaddik is they both fall. Everyone falls. We all fall. We all make mistakes. We all fall down the spiritual mountain. The tzaddik says, I got to pick myself up and climb back again. Whereas the rasha says, I fell. I can't do it. I'll give up. So it's different levels. The difference between a rasha and a tzaddik is how much they try to get up again. Everyone makes mistakes. We all make mistakes. So it's a very important key. So number one is traits that we acquire from the beginning, which are part of us. Number two, traits which we are predisposed to acquire. So when we're born, we don't have the trait, but later on, we're predisposed to acquire it. Number three, the traits a person has, but he doesn't have when he's created, but he learns from other people. So these are learned traits. Number four, a person who figures out different traits that he would like. Today it's very, you see on the media, and you want to be like that person. What kind of role models do we have today? Who are the role models of the heroes of our children? Is the sportsmen who are all their walls, or the actors and actresses which are on their walls? Who's all the musicians of God on the walls as well? Disaster. So these are people's role models. Or a person heard this trait is good and he wants to follow it. So all these things, these are five different ways of obtaining traits. So now he's going back to the extremes. We started with this idea of there's extremes in traits. There are extremes in traits. And it's not good to follow the extreme. This is very interesting. This is a Rambam who's very against. We talked about the zealots and the extremists who, because of them, this temple was destroyed. Because of the Romans smashed the Jewish people. He said it's not good to have extreme traits. It's a very famous Rambam. This is called the golden mean. This Rambam is called the golden mean. To follow the golden mean, it's not fitting. It's not fitting for a person to go by the extremes in the traits. Not to teach these extremes to oneself. If he doesn't be, he's not an extremist, don't become an extremist. If a person finds that their nature is following one of these extremes and traits, or he's prepared to accept this extreme, or he already learned this extreme, he should bring himself to the golden mean. And this golden mean is called Derech HaYishara. Derech HaYishara, the straight path. HaDerech HaYishara Hu Midah Binoni. The straight path is the medium path. Shebechol Deah V'Deah in every trait. So it's not good to be too angry. It's not good to be too placid, which we're going to talk about. Because there are two exceptions to this rule of being in the medium. There are two exceptions to the medium we're going to talk about. So say generous. It's not good to be too generous. Give everything away, because who's going to look after you? That's why laws of Tzedakah says don't give more than 20%. Don't give more than a chomesh, 20%. Because even rich people become poor. don't give more than 20%. So even in laws of chesed, don't give too much of your time away, because then you have no time for yourself and no time for your children, no time for your family. So it's critical to have the medium. It's so hard to be the medium. We're all extremists in some way, in something we're extremists. The trouble is, if you're not extremist, then you're sort of watered down. It's hard to be not watered down. So this famous story, Liquid, right? It says this guy, he was a descendant of the Chafetz Chaim. He used to be the first one in the Minyan, and then suddenly he started getting later and later and later. The rabbi takes him aside. He says, tell me, he says, what happened to you? He used to be the first one in the middle. So he says, what can I do? He says, Rabbi, on the way to yeshiva, he said, there's a woman with four children, and the children are crying, and I go to help her every morning. So he says, who is this woman? He says, my wife. So chesed starts at home, we forget. As I was saying, charity starts at home. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. Who do you help first? Your relatives. Machloket. You help your parents first, or your children first. Shulchan Aruch says you help your children first. The Ramah says you help your parents first. Why do you have to help your children first? Shulchan Aruch says an amazing thing, because you brought them into the world. They didn't ask you to be born. Your first responsibility is those you caused to be born. Boy, boy, boy. Now the guilt. You caused the child to be born. Don't use it against your parents. You caused me to be born. It's all your fault. Ay, ay, ay. But the parents have responsibility to help their children. If you're giving tzedakah away, who do you give tzedakah to first? If your children need it, that's number one. Number two is your parents. You got to help your parents. You got to help your siblings. So how many people follow this? They always giving money away, but who are they giving money to? Their community. What about their community? What about people around them in this? Your town comes first. There are people in town who are suffering. Okay, so the five different levels, five different ways of acquiring traits, and we know there's extremes of the traits. It's not good to be in the extremes of the traits. Always try and be in the middle of the traits. And that's halakha number four. We're in halakha number four, haderech hayishara, the straight path, humida beronit, is the average trait. Chol de'ot ya'av, to be average in all the traits, to be in the middle of all the traits. Kol ha'deot sheyesh lo adam. And there are hundreds of traits. There are hundreds, I think. Have a list. I've got to bring my list. I think 125, if I remember right. To be in the middle of 100 different, all these traits, it's like an orchestra. Your personality is like an orchestra. You have this trait, that trait, and you have to balance all these traits. So we're in Halakha 4. So the ideal is to be in the middle of the traits, to be distant from both edges. Therefore, the rabbi said, "She Adam sam deotav tamid mishayrotam." Persons always got to measure their traits, mechavenotam, and or try and get them into the right, into the average. Kadesh yesh aleh begufo, in order that he should be perfect in his body. In other words, he's talking about a mind-body connection over here, the Rambam. He says, if your traits are good, your body will also be good. Which is wild, Rambam. So we know today that there's many problems today. Overweight and some self-caused, like diabetes. What is it? Diabetes B. Two. Diabetes two, which are caused by a person. So the traits cause the illness sometimes. So the health issues which are caused by things we eat, which we can't help ourselves. I'm also guilty. We're all guilty. It's hard in America. You're surrounded by all these, especially on Shabbat. It's like, so on Shabbat the halacha is no diet. I don't know whose halakha is that, but there's a halakha like that. I don't know. I just heard it. I went to Israel. I heard a halakha. There's no dieting on Shabbat. But you got to use your brains. So it's very easy to let go on Shabbat, and you suffer the consequences the rest of the week. It's very hard. So I don't think there's a halakha like that. I wouldn't say there's a halakha like that. I say, okay, enjoy, but within reason. Everything's within reason. Don't go crazy. Don't. So ketzad. So now he goes into examples of trying to come to the medium. Lo yeh bal chema. A person should not be an angry person. Noach likos. It's the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, right? Very easy to get angry. Velo kemet she'eno margish ela benoni. A person shouldn't be like a dead a person who does not feel anything. It's very interesting. The Rambam doesn't say someone angers you and causes you pain, you shouldn't. He doesn't say turn the other cheek. He says no. Don't be a met. Don't be like a dead person who doesn't feel anything. Be like an average person. I wouldn't say an average person. That's a dangerous thing. Put yourself, your trait should be in the average. Not too easy to get angry. Never get angry. Always be the medium. Lo yichos al davar gadol. So he goes into details now. A person should not get angry unless it's a major thing, which is fit to get angry about, which is very hard today because we have our egos. A lot of problems, of course, that work because people have egos. They get angry at small things. And then they lose their jobs. So people say, why did I lose my job? Because you got angry. At work, they don't like people get angry, by the way. It's one of the things HR, they worry about, you know. It should be a nice environment at work. So a person gets up and starts screaming at his co-worker, makes a scene, he's going to be fired very soon, if not straight away. Because they don't like... So it's very important not to get into the habit of not getting angry. Or controlling one's anger and taking it out in the right kind of way. So a person shouldn't be easy to angry. But he should be angry in order to teach the other person a lesson not to do it again. There's a very important key over here. So educational anger is allowed. So parents, we're going to talk about a bit more. He's going to talk about this later on. Parents are allowed to get angry. Show anger. Not to get angry and lose oneself. That's disaster. That's a person who gets angry is like a worshiper of idols. Why? You know, it's a fit where he can't control himself. Okay, so that's very important. To be an average in terms of anger. What's average in terms of anger? Only get angry when it's required. And only to show anger, not to feel anger. That's the hard part. A person gets angry and then they lose it. Lose control is the worst thing. It's like they worship idols. It's very important not to lose that control. So it's got to be anger, which is a measured kind of anger. Why did you do this to me? I'm not really upset. I'm just showing it just to educate. Why would you do this to me? What did I do to deserve it? Why are you doing these things? Stop it already. So that's what Rambam says. It's an anger to educate. Don't desire. This is the hard part. Don't desire things unless the body requires them and it's good for the body. How do you control your desires? Boy, this is hard. So you see the chocolate cake. Unless it's healthy chocolate cake. Have you heard of such a thing? It's a healthy chocolate cake. It's impossible to do without it. You go shopping. First question is, do I need this? Do I want it? Yeah, I want it. Do I need it? First question, do I need it? Yeah, my wife is great. She goes shopping, but she can never find anything. It's great. Go more often. It's great. It's fantastic. Baruch Hashem. Have a wife like that. It's Gan Eden, you know. Low maintenance, it's called. But the only trouble is now she has to go and find something. Kinyan Shneemar, Tzadik Ochel Sova Nasho. As it says, a Tzadik eats to satisfy his soul. So that's it. Not more than I need. I don't really need it. It's not good for me. I don't need it. Don't eat it. Don't have it. Don't buy it. You don't need it. Don't buy it. Do you need it? That's the question. Do you need it? Do I need it? I need it. Yeah, I need it. Do you need it? How badly do you need it? I need it, man. It's so hard. This is so hard. This is the materialist society we're living in. We have so many options. It's a touch of a button today. Amazon.com. You're on Prime. Press the button. 2 days later, it's there outside your door. And even it's going to be soon. Even soon. Now this is hard as well. Don't work too hard. Go home and tell your husband. The rabbi said you shouldn't work so hard. Unless you really need to work to get something which you need for the short term. As it says, Tom me'ale tzadik. A little bit is good for a tzadik. Don't be too miserly. And don't scatter your money around. Then otens takak fi masal yado. First, she gives the car according to what their ability is. Malve kera'uy, lend according to your ability to lend. It's a person who needs to borrow. So a person shouldn't be too spendthrift and too miserly. It's so hard to get this balance right. V'loy mehulal, a person should not be a person always laughing. Ha 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 ha. V'lo atzev, shouldn't be depressed. El sameach, should be happy all the day.
The person who wrote this, okay?
This is Rambam, yeah.
Was he perfect?
No.
No.
No one's perfect. We are talking about the ideal because we need something to aim for. It's like a dartboard. You need a goal to aim for. If you don't have a goal, you'll never get anywhere. So we all need goals. He's giving us a goal over here. He himself was depressed for a whole year. He says himself, I couldn't move for a whole year. I couldn't do anything. Why? His brother who supported him died. And he's in bed for a year. And it wasn't for his wife. Who knows what happened to him. So he's talking about the average, where you know, just living a normal life. Not talking about dealing with major consequences. It's very hard to deal. But even then, you've got to get back to this goal to me. This is the goal. To overcome obstacles and get back to this. So we all need goals. If we don't have targets, You know, in every company today, they all have targets. You got to meet the target. How do you get? Do we meet our target this year? Do we not meet our target this year? They all have to, you know. So the question is, we all have to have targets in terms of our personality traits. So who talks about this? Where do you find this? This is Jewish law. He made this into Jewish law. It's a revolution. He took Pirkei Avot and made Pirkei Avot into Jewish law. You don't find this in Shulchan Aruch. That's why I say it's so critical. Imagine teaching children when they're growing up. These are ways you're going to get your traits. Make sure you get the right traits now. It won't be a burden on you later. Halavai, we could teach the children these.
Is the Shulchan Aruch that a law?
Shulchan Aruch is Jewish law. But they don't incorporate the same amount of talks about. This is only Rambam talks about it. Rambam is also Jewish law. But it wasn't made it wasn't adopted as well as the Shulchan Aruch was adopted.
You can teach the questions, how do you get them to hear it?
Okay, so you got to teach it in a way children can accept it. Yeah, you've got to rewrite the book. You got to rewrite it for children. Mm-hmm. So you have fiction for children, you have fiction for adults. So you have non-fiction for children. So it's non-fiction for children. It's a nice book here with pictures and everything. They're doing it today. It's called the Midot series. It's called Midot series for children.
I'm just saying that the Rambam is more practical when you practice the law.
Well, the Rambam brings down philosophy behind it, the history behind it. It's not just dry law. But no one talks about the laws of character traits. No one ever talked about Midot as being part of Jewish law. So he made Midot part of Jewish law. It's Pirkei Avot, basically. But he applies it. It makes it. He writes it in a very nice way. He doesn't write it as this rabbi says, this rabbi says, this rabbi says. Just no rabbis mentioned. This is the way to go. Now do it. So he basically gives practical examples. So a person shouldn't work too hard. That's great. Don't work too hard. Don't strive so hard for materialism. Why?
But if you work for somebody, you're nervous. You don't want
to
get...
Yeah, 100%. Today's society is different. Today's society, you got to work your... You get a job, you have to work for someone.
Yeah. Otherwise, they'd be replaced.
100%. But try and find a job. What he's saying is try and find a job which is not so taxing. That's what he's saying. So we have an opportunity to find different jobs. So this is how much pressure is in this job and how much pressure is in this job. So it's a high-pressure job, high-pressure work environment. Why do you want to choose that job?
Because you want to make more money. So you
not necessarily. Yeah. Depends what you do. You can become an engineer, it's less pressure. You become a stockbroker, it'll be high pressure.
Right, but why is an engineer less pressure?
Why? Because that's the nature of the job. There's much, number one, it's a much more in-demand job. And there's less applicants. And salary is higher, and I think there's less pressure to produce. That's my observation.
That's why you became a rabbi.
Yes.
Right.
Because I want less pressure, right?
More pressure. No pressure. I know that. That's why I said that.
Okay. Lo ya'amal b'isko. Okay. So if you need something, then you work for it. If you don't need something, you don't work for it. Lo yikfos yado b'te. Okay, we talked about not being too much a miser, not scattering money. Not being too happy, not being too sad. Just be happy with a pleasant face all one's life. Where does that come from? Pirkei Avot. Bet Shammai. Shammai says, here it is. The Rambam brings down halacha. A person should go all his life with a happy countenance, with a sweet countenance. How do you do this? And the person always smiling. You had a great day? Wasn't so great. A lot of challenges in life. That's life, you know. It's hard. It's so hard, especially a person sick. How do you go around smiling? You're sick. The doctor says, "I've never seen you smile." Well, you know, why do you think? When I come to you, I'm sick. So how are you going to see me smile? I'm going to be smiling. It's so crazy. But according to this, a person should try and smile. How do you feel? I don't feel well. it's crazy. So you got to be on the average scale. That's going crazy. That's craziness. That's not normal. I don't know. So we talk about a normal situation. We're talking about a situation where a person loses a relative and he's smiling. Well, that's crazy. He's got to be crying. There's time to. That's Shlomo Melech says. Time to laugh and a time to cry.
But Rabbi,
yes.
I know there was a case where my niece's mother was ill for a long time, and people would say, "How are you?" And they really don't want to hear how she is.
Right,
I mean, it's just
right.
And
that's
so,
it.
It's a greeting. It's a greeting.
So she would say,
"It's a greeting."
Right. It becomes a greeting.
And you,
She never answered it.
Right.
It was thank you and you, and and it allowed it to get to the next step without it. It's been hard, the chemo's not going. I mean, it wasn't that aspect, but it was a way for her to keep the smile. Thank you and you.
Today you just say Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem good or Baruch Hashem bad? Baruch Hashem.
The kids say Baruch Hashem to everyone.
That's right.
Like little grandson. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
What she says it?
He had a, we had a member here, he used to say, it's a Jewish Fifth Amendment.
That's right.
You don't answer the question, you say Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem, exactly.
So in every character trait, try and be in the middle. This is the way of the wise. And every person who has these traits, which are an average trait, a medium trait, is considered a wise person. So there's a new definition of a wise person. A wise person who has midot, which are trained midot, that's a wise person. Okay, we're going to stop here. Because Hashem, Mashiach will come soon. We won't have to fast anymore on Tisha B'Av, and we'll live. Only if we learn how to get along with each other, Hashem.